Good morning, everyone. The groundless ground. How can we be comforted by recognizing and realizing there's nothing that we can hold on to or grasp? The Heart Sutra says everything is empty. This is the groundless ground. When we're not attempting to make things into the image of what we would like or hold on to and desperately grasp. What we don't realize is that what we're grasping for is already a distant memory. It's not real. Even a beloved, dear human being that we've spent our entire life with, we're only grasping at memories. We want to smell and taste and talk to and be with that person. What are we wanting? If we can stop grasping and we can wake up, then there's nothing missing because the groundless ground. So the universe, right? We look out into space and we see exploding stars. What are we seeing? Memories. Long past gone stars. Can we grasp them? So how do we step beyond our consciousness to the groundless ground and have joy in our lives, not just sorrow? We can't live without sorrow because we have memories. And there's sorrow. But there's also joy in those memories, aren't there? So when we're not attached, we're not clinging, then we are what in a recent poem I shared with you all, we are a cloud and water person. There's nothing I can say that would explain or make that clear to you. I can't show it to you. It's like offering you a cup of tea. It's the same. Here, have a drink. You can't already say what this is defined from your experience in the past. This is a new cup of tea. This is not the one you drank yesterday. There's something comforting about the groundless ground. It's beyond conceptualization, thinking, making, clinging, exploring consciousness, wanting to understand what is this. So, you know, where you put your attention kind of gets you to a different place. If you're busy trying to run away from something, that's going to have a different effect karmically on your experience than if you're wanting to explore and understand and wake up to. So getting back to sort of, you know, what's our intention here? You know, what are we doing? Why are we in this moment? What is it that we're intending to get out of it? from the groundless ground point of view, consciousness is just a dance that you can have this partner and dance with for a while. And then you can have another partner and dance with that partner for a while. You can direct it, put it here, put it there. But that's not all of it, is it? That's not all of existence, is it? That's just what we're focusing on. We're trying to make real, or daydreaming about, or wishing was in place, or so the reason I'm bringing all this up, because I think all of us in our own way are being faced with things we can't hold on to all the time. And I would like to end suffering, self-inflicted kind of suffering, not the ever-changing flow of life. Can't change that. What can I change? Every time I've had a great loss in my life, I've also had great joy. I can't tell you how that through the sorrow and suffering and pain, I also experience a gift. And I think, you know, just to use this very common analogy of a lotus flower coming out of the mud, there's something blooming out of our sorrow and experience of loss and having to deal with the suffering that we've caused ourselves and others in the muck that we've created. There's something beautiful that comes out of this as realization that comes through, that's it's radiant, it's beautiful, it's a flowering. So as long as you're not holding on tightly, and when you open your hand, you know, the light can come through between the fingers. Holding on tightly, it's dark. So let the light in, loosen your grasp. We all have to find our own way. We can't drink the tea for someone else. I sit here and I talk too much, you know, every week. But I hope at least some of it is useful. Because I'm really just sort of, you know, sharing my own experience, really. I'm doing the best I can to put it into some sort of framework for you. But I can't make you drink the tea. But thank you so much for sharing your tea with me and being here. So let's chat. Let's see what's going on. Anyone?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Will. I think it's beautifully done. What you're doing is extremely difficult, at least it would be for me, to try to explain or relate being able to detach my own sense of self from or any kind of judgment to what I'm experiencing. And the idea that of groundless ground, like there's nothing to measure against. There's no like standard for me other than what I'm experiencing right now and right here. And I think I can't help but start to try to identify what I'm going through with my own preconditions or you know, my own biases. in terms of the of loss and joy, I've gone through kind of a turmoil this past week. A week ago, last Sunday, my sister-in-law passed away, and she was someone that I had a very difficult relationship with for almost 40 years. So just with the groundless ground, again, what occurred to me is, you know, to be able, not so attached to my ideas, likes or dislikes, or, you know, what I consider to be measuring stick. And just be able to take what I want, leave the rest. And
yeah, so what I'm hearing, missing an element of the groundless ground that can't be. Of course, you know, the groundless ground is not something that you can conceptualize. So it's not something you can grasp from an intellectual point of view. So as soon as you put an idea on it, it's no longer the groundless ground. It's an idea. So wisdom is another word we throw around a lot. Groundless ground and wisdom are not different. We want illumination, what's referred to as illumination, which is the light of wisdom in our lives so that we can act appropriately and also understand deeply what really is happening and how we can help. How can we really help in any given situation when we have opinions, attitudes, putting it into a particular view, idea, whatever? So groundless ground is that place of wisdom where compassion, correct action, correct understanding, all of it comes into play. Our deluded, ordinary view of life is from that, as you say, sense of self, that clinging to my way. And again, opening that hand allows light to pass through. So letting go of the clinging, you know, then compassion can work in this, like this situation you're describing, 40 years or whatever, how many years of discomfort with this one person. So, you know, in order to change our karma, if you will, we have to recognize it. We have to understand these patterns that we have created and repeat all the time. Again, that from that groundless ground, we have the wisdom to look at our own karma and decide not to keep acting the same way and try something else.
Yes, thank you.
I have something to share.
Okay, thank you.
So I've been going through my radiation treatments, of which I'm supposed to have 15 of them. They're very small, and they last for about probably 15 minutes. But of course, I'm going into the unknown.
Yes.
And so I had all kinds of stories in my head about it.
Yeah.
Big drama. And it hasn't been like that at all. And while I'm laying on the table, receiving the treatment, I have these two young ladies who are running the machines, and they're seriously like two little angels. They have the sweetest voices you've ever heard. They're very, very loving. And so I was telling them that and realizing how grateful I was for them and their way. It was totally loving, very innocent, and very matter of fact, like, you know, this is not a big deal. And so that was kind of funny for me. And then I was receiving what I now like to call my radiance. And so I was lying there receiving, and this giant machine like moves in all different strange ways, but I can see my reflection. And what I'm seeing is really quite interesting. At one point, I could see my body, and they have some kind of a mapping that they do. I don't know what it is, but it looks like the most beautiful African-American design, although like a tattoo. That's absolutely beautiful. And then I see colors and beautiful greens and purples. And it's just, you know, the dichotomy of what I'm thinking and expecting and what I'm experiencing. So I'm watching my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing.
Yeah.
And the evaluation, this is good, this is bad, this is easy, this is hard. After the treatment, I come home, and the anticipation and the unknown, that's heavy. That feels very oppressive.
Yes.
And with everything else going on in that world, the combination is extremely oppressive. And so I came home, and my husband said to me, "You're quite the trooper." And so I was feeling very important about that, but somehow I was also feeling exhausted and very sad. And so when I started to feel sad, I took myself into another room. And then I thought to myself, well, why am I doing this? I don't have to be a trooper. And so I came out of the room and I told my husband, because he was doing his best to be encouraging. And, and I told him that I needed a hug. And then I started crying and I let myself. And he said, "I know how hard this is." And that was perfect. So I learned something.
Yeah.
And I think I'm trying to realize that I have to change that idea that I have about being the trooper.
Yes.
I don't have to be a trooper.
Yeah. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were discovering the gifts in the sorrow at the same time you were experiencing the sorrow. Yes. I think that's being alive. Yeah. Thanks for taking us on your journey with you.
You're welcome.
Really. Yeah.
Your microphone, whatever it is quite good.
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Ah.
Okay. So back when it's called Blue.
Okay.
I don't know much other than that. My son, who's a geek, I think recommended it to me back when we were first going into COVID and we had to do Zoom. The mic and the camera on this laptop just wasn't working very well at all. So I happened to get one of the very last ones of this and the camera. It came as a kit from Best Buy. It was the very last one they had. So thanks to your donations, I was able to purchase it. And we've been using it ever since. But I'm glad it sounds good. Thank you for telling me that. Yeah. And it's just a USB plug-in. It's not difficult.
On Groundless Ground, I was driving around the other day, and I was amused to see a church named Stable Ground Church.
Of course.
Different approaches.
You're bad. In a good way. Yeah. I struggle with that, you know. It's like, come on, what are you selling here?
There's also a great quote from Trungpa Rinpoche, it's like jumping out of an airplane. The bad news is there's no parachute. The good news is there's no ground.
That's great. I haven't heard that one. Thank you. It's good.
I had an interesting moment this week with my daughter. My daughter, Zoya, who is 7 years old, had the moment of understanding mortality. It hit her. We were reading a story, a bunch of like old children's stories. But you know how children's stories in the 1800s were a little intense. Mm-hmm. It was about a little matchbook girl. A little matchbook girl is a homeless Dickensian girl, no shoes, in the snow. And everybody's ignoring her. She has no body. And she sees a vision of her grandmother. And she goes to be with her. And then you realize that she died in the street. That's the freaking story. And for a kid, for bedtime. And Zoya was laying in the bed with her, towards the end with her mother. She's like, Mom, I can't get that little girl out of my head. And you know, they were talking about it. And then it kind of sunk. It was a little girl who died. And then it was her. She realized that she'd die. And then everybody else, her family. And she was a mess. And my wife comes in and she goes, you get in there to play grief counselor, you know? And it was funny, but it was kind of what you were saying. She's seven. I can only go so metaphysical with her. But, you know, I was trying to explain to her how, like, you know, in that sadness, there's joy. And, you know, I said to her, I was like, what's the opposite of night? She's like, day. I was like, what's the opposite of dark? Light. What's the opposite of good? She said, bad. I said, so what's the opposite of sadness? She says, happiness. I said, exactly. If you're feeling the sadness, that happiness is always right on the outside. And it's the same thing as when you're super happy, you get something new, a new toy, it's exciting, you're so happy, you love it. But there's also part of you on the outside that's sad because you know it's going to be over, I'm going to get bored of this. I was like, so if you can just always be mindful of that, you know, and it's a little something, and it kind of was very comforting for her as she went to bed. Now, the postscript is I go to bed. I wake up at 2 a.m, I'm laying in bed like this.
Yeah.
But it was a very beautiful moment. And it was, while it was heavy on one hand, and I know I have friends who talk about, like, they kind of dread this moment with their kids. But I don't know, I was like excited to, in a lot of ways, to allay her fears. And the way I know possible from what I've learned, and simultaneously laying my own fears, let's be honest.
Right, right. Like we teach what we need to learn, right? Right. Yeah. It happens to me often, you know, I have these Dharma talks with you guys, and then my next week is all about my learning. Dharma talk. Okay, well, you know, the universe has got a great sense of humor. All right, let's see how much you really got this. Yeah. Thank you, Michael. That's that was lovely to hear too. You know, when you're, you know, my young kids have all grown up, and we kind of longingly look back on those moments. Know of special moments that we had with our children growing up. So rare and special. Yeah.
And even when you're in it and it's wonderful, you know it's going to end.
Correct.
That is.
Yep. It's what makes it special, I think.
I had an experience with my grandson. He was maybe about 8 years old when a very good friend of mine died. And so his dad and I were talking about it on the telephone because they're in California. And my grandson heard, but they speak to him very openly about everything, which is great. Mm-hmm. And so he told my son he wanted to get on the phone with me. And he got on the phone and he said, I'm sorry to hear about your friend. He said, I had a friend in my class who died, so I know just how you feel. And I thought, wow, I mean, I grew up in a family where if somebody died, it was like they disappeared. Nobody talked about it. There was no understanding. And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah. It's good.
I'd like to, I have a comment. I get a daily Zen calendar every day.
Yes.
And there was a quote that has been, I think about it every day, if I can remember it exactly right. It talks about renunciation and how, and I always wondered what that meant, how one would practice renunciation, not being attached to things. And it says, renunciation is not having things. Renunciation is realizing that they go away. And for me, that's been very helpful in regards to, like, if a glass, you know, if I break something that I really like, I say, well, it was broken anyway. It was broken already. Kind of, which is really easy to do if you're working with inanimate objects.
Sure.
The animate objects, it's not as easy. Yeah. And I've been thinking about that. But I found that saying to be very helpful.
So just a quick note on another subject, a siesta key. I'm keeping an eye on things, but if things keep going the way they are right now, where red tide seems to be very minimal, at least on siesta, maybe next week we could try. And so unless it goes back up, I think we'll be good. So we'll start into that again. All right, now that we're all realized, maybe we should get on with our day.
That was easy.
Anything else? Thank you. Have a wonderful day.